Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Hypables Once Upon a Time podcast. I'm Jen, and tonight I'm joined by Karen and Laura. Hello.
Hi.
Laura's having some very traumatic experiences right now. She just finished The Walking Dead season finale. I'm not sure if she's going to make it through the entire episode. We'll see if we can keep her on track. She may start babbling about zombies and train cars.
I am so frustrated. I can't even. I just can't even. That's okay. I'll be fine. We'll move on.
All right. So let's hop into our Wonderland discussion. This is the second to last episode. There's only one more episode, which is kind of interesting. I'm not sure how I really feel about Wonderland overall. It's been kind of an up and down kind of ride for me. What did you guys think about this episode of Wonderland?
I like the episode more than I have others. I just feel like they just turned it on too late in the series. I mean, I definitely like the back half of it much better than I like the front half of it, but I'm personally kind of ready to be done with it, and that makes me sad.
Yeah, I think the big thing here is that it had so much potential and it just completely dropped the ball. But I will say that the last three episodes or so, I've really been enjoying, including this one. I thought it was pretty good and intense, and there was a lot of great character moments. But yeah, it came too late in the series, I think, to really kind of save itself. And I mean, this was supposed to only be like a one-shot thing anyway, but it is sad that it had all that potential and then it just didn't even happen.
Very true. I kind of agree with you guys. I'm kind of just like, nah, I'm ready. I'm ready to be done, I think. So let's talk about our quotes, Wonderland, because there's always some decent quotes. Mine was from like the very beginning where Alice is supposedly this murderer. And the Knave, being basically controlled by Cora, is sent out to find Alice and bring her back. And so they have this interaction and Will falls down and Alice says, "You're quite clumsy for a soldier." And he says, "And you're a little young to be a murderer." And I just, it's kind of, that whole exchange to me is exactly who they are. It kind of epitomizes their relationships, who they are as characters. And I really enjoyed it. And Karen, I see you have a quote as well.
Yeah, my quote's from the Knave too. I think, you know, just going back to your quote really quick, Alice and the Knave in the backstory stuff, they were fantastic. I love their relationship and how they sort of play off each other. And you're right, that whole exchange was super funny, especially when he was like, "Oh, well, cut out your tongue and chop off your head." And she's like, "Isn't that a little redundant?" They were just really awesome. But I actually chose kind of more of a serious one this time from the Knave. And it's when he tells Alice, "You think your love story is the only one worth fighting for." And I guess I just kind of like the sentiment here because it's something that Once Upon a Time does really well and that Wonderland does from time to time, in that it makes you care about other people's stories. You know, Once Upon a Time isn't just about Snow White and Prince Charming. It's just as much about the Evil Queen and Rumpelstiltskin and all these other stories that you wouldn't necessarily care about to begin with, but because, you know, between the writing and the acting and everything, you end up falling in love with all of these other characters that maybe wouldn't have been in the forefront in the beginning. And so I really liked how the Knave said that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a really good point. And I also think it kind of brings Alice up short a little bit in her thoughts and what she believes to be important as compared to what Will knows is important in a way. So as we said, the opening scene is Will out with the Queen's Guard and they're searching for Alice, who's this supposed murderer. And really her only crime was stealing a weeping willow to bring back to show her father that Wonderland was real. So we kind of have that whole thing. And then as they're talking, Alice keeps Will in a trap because he tried to catch her again. And so when he did, he ended up being snared. And so she left him there to think about his misdeeds for a bit. And they got to talking, and she realized that, you know, Will was kind of being controlled, because he says, I couldn't stop hunting you even if I wanted to. And so that leads Alice to say, well, I will get your heart back. And throughout this episode, Will says, you know, a thief should always have someone with them. And but Alice insisted, so Alice goes on her own to get Will's heart back. So that's kind of the opening scene and sets up like that flashback moment to move forward into what's coming for the rest of the episode. So what did you guys think about the opening scene?
I really liked that concept. I only wish we had seen that earlier on in the season, that flashback, so you understood what bonded them together like that. I thought it was really cool. I genuinely enjoyed that scene, or the series of scenes that they had together in the beginning. And it was just kind of fun and playful watching her sort of control Will to an extent. I really enjoyed it.
So did I, and I think it's kind of sad, actually, that I feel as if Alice and Will have more chemistry than Alice and Cyrus do. Not necessarily romantic, but they're so good together, and I want to watch a show about them, not necessarily about Alice and Cyrus, and that's kind of not the point.
Right. Well, I think it's because we never really got an opportunity to see Alice and Cyrus interact as much as we could have. Like, we kept hearing and being told about how they were this great couple. And, you know, we did see them, you know, kind of fighting together on that precipice, like the very first episode. And we've seen them obviously together later on. But we just didn't get a real sense continuously of like what they meant to each other, or, you know, how they came to respect each other. I think you're right. There was, you know, Will and Alice, we've really gotten to see that chemistry build, and we haven't had that same opportunity with Alice and Cyrus.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a really good point. And I feel the same way, Karen. So don't feel bad about that. I feel like there's something very flat between Alice and Cyrus. Like, I'm not buying it. And if that's what the heart of your story is supposed to be, is this epic love story, it's not epic to me. So I think that's where I'm having the most problems with it.
Yeah, I think flat is actually the perfect word for it. Because if you think about it, we started off with them pretty much being in love and losing each other right from the beginning. And so the fight has been getting back they're not their love. I mean, they've been in love the whole time, but just finding each other again. And once they found each other, there hasn't really been a whole lot of like conflict between them. It's all this outside stuff, and they haven't really changed at all, for better or for worse. And I think that's just kind of boring. Whereas Will and Alice obviously started off as not necessarily enemies, but they were definitely on opposite sides, and they kind of came together and became friends, and that's just way more interesting.
Very, very true. Alright, so we're back in the present day Wonderland, and Cyrus and Alice are trying to figure out how to return the water, basically Amara, back to the well, so that the brothers can be released and they will no longer be genies, therefore foiling Jafar's great big plan. So we kind of have this, and as this is going on, Will shows up, and he's seeking the staff, because he confesses that he wants to let Jafar win. He wants Jafar to put the spell in place, so basically he can save Anastasia. So, of course, Cyrus is not down with that idea, and neither is Alice, for the most part, but it's still kind of, I think she's more willing to listen to Will than Cyrus is. Cyrus is adamant that that cannot happen. So, guess of that whole scene, what did you think about Cyrus's thoughts about he didn't want to see his mother? He just wanted to return the water. He didn't want to see her before that happened.
I wonder if maybe he didn't just, I mean, he didn't know how to turn her back, right? Like, wasn't that the whole thing? And he didn't want to waste time by trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, I just think there aren't enough pieces of the puzzle. Not there aren't enough pieces of puzzle, but just he doesn't have the fullest set of information to go on.
Right,
at the
right. But he and Alice have like a whole conversation, and Alice said she would just want to see her mother one more time.
Right.
And Cyrus was like, no. So I wonder if he feels some sort of guilt for what happened to his brothers.
Yeah, like,
and
I'm
he
sure
doesn't
he
want
does.
To face, yeah. But he doesn't want to face her with it, maybe. Because he That's doesn't want to have to say, okay, now your life's going to be over. You've lived this long only because we've been genies. Like,
right.
Do you know what I mean? So I wonder if there's something more to it for him.
I just feel like they're just flying so blind, you know, and there's no one they can ask. Not really. And so it's, I think it was just such an episode of flying by the seat of pants, because the only other result is letting Jafar and the Jabberwocky take over the world. So it's like, it's kind of like anything is better than that. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So after all of this, you know, Will agrees to find he's not going to take the staff, even though he maybe later tries to steal it. Jafar has a conversation with the Jabberwocky. He refuses to release her, and she's not cool with this in the least bit. So she shows him some more fears, and his biggest fear is that he can't complete the spell without Amara, which is very telling. So he's not nearly as secure and badass as he thinks he is. So there's that. And then he releases the other genies, trying to gather information from them. And as he does, he kind of looks at them and says, oh, you're not worthy of my conversation, and sends them back, because he asks them about Amara, and they say, oh, yeah, we don't know anyone named Amara. But he realizes that they all look alike. And that's when he kind of has the revelation that they're all related, which is an interesting thing. It took him this long to realize that they're all related. He's had those genies for how long?
I know, he's spectacularly unobservant, isn't he?
I'm just like, really, Jafar? Anyway, so there's all this kind of happening with Jafar, and he's not playing well with Jabberwocky. And now, if I were him, I would be very concerned about his nastiness towards her. He may hold the dagger, but the Jabberwocky is powerful and a little bit devious. So I don't know. What do you guys think about that whole section with Jafar and the Jabberwocky and him realizing that, oh, hey, wait, the genies are all related?
I think that Jafar only knows how to manipulate people and how to be super controlling. And he is a smart villain to an extent, but I don't think he realizes that he can't bully the Jabberwocky. I mean, that's not going to work on her. But I actually kind of really like this idea that even though Jafar is sort of our big bad, there's somebody else who, I mean, the Jabberwocky isn't really good, but I wouldn't say she's necessarily evil. She's kind of like on her own side, and so she's going to do whatever helps her the most. And this idea that she's kind of worse than him and has some power over him, I think creates a really interesting dynamic for the show.
Yeah, no, the whole thing with the Jabberwocky, it's interesting. I'm constantly very fixated on the Jabberwocky. I think she's, as controlling as Jafar is, I'm fascinated and puzzled by, and I want to trust the Jabberwocky, and I don't want to trust the Jabberwocky. I'm kind of enraptured with the Jabberwocky right now, and she's only going to be on one more episode, and she's kind of an enigma right now, and I don't know where to go with it.
Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting to see how they resolve her character next week. The other thing is, so Jafar, being annoyed with everything at this point, sends the Jabberwocky after Alice, right? And so in the process of the Jabberwocky going to look for them, we have Will, who tries to steal the staff from Cyrus, eventually manages to do it, and then runs off, and then Alice goes to try and find him. They're using the compass, the lost and found compass. And Alice goes off and finds him, and Will and Alice start to talk. And Karen, this is where your quote comes into play of, you know, do you think your story is the only love story worth, what was it? You think your love story is the only one worth fighting for? And Alice kind of realizes that, you know, no, wait, it's not the only one. It's important that you have your love too. So just as she's getting to release him, she slips and falls into the river.
Yeah, poor Alice. I think, though, I don't want to call her selfish because I really don't think she is, but she is kind of wrapped up in her own thing with Cyrus in particular, and I think she's been so focused on that goal for so long that she kind of, it's not that she doesn't care about Will, but he's definitely second, and I think that's unfortunate because it's obvious that they're really good friends, and I love how the Knave said that to her, and it kind of just made her stop and think about what she's been doing to him for, you know, all this time.
Very true, very true. So from there, once Alice falls into the river, Will decides that, with his heart back, that he can't allow Alice, like, he's worried about her. So he jumps in after her, and the two kind of wash up on shore, and they have a very, very sweet kind of heart-to-heart about everything that's going on, and they try to plan what they could do and how they could, rather than let Jafar win, how together they could defeat him and maybe find a way to help Anastasia. So there was that as well. And then after all of that, they come up with a plan on how, they actually come up with a plan on how to defeat Jafar. Defeat Jafar. And it involves the Jabberwocky, who has shown up. So what did you guys think with the Jabberwocky being kind of involved and saying, I'm not really aligned to anybody?
I love it.
I like it too. She was clearly like showing signs of vulnerability. I just feel like, I don't know if it's an act. I don't know if we can trust her. I kind of want to trust her, but I don't know if we can. I don't know. I'm really torn.
I feel like we can trust her to do what's best for her.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's necessarily helping Alice and the others because she wants to see them win necessarily. I mean, she does to an extent because I think she wants to get rid of Jafar.
Right.
But it's definitely for her own gain.
You know what? Yeah, see, now that's what I guess is the biggest problem for me, is I don't know what the game is. And she had a quote that was something along the lines of, like, I wasn't always like this. The fact that I would be feeding off of fear. Like something made me this way. Like, I'm curious, so what happened to the Jabberwocky to make her like that? Who is she really? I'm really curious. I don't know. I'm really, really curious to see how this works out, because I think you're absolutely right, Karen, is that I think we can count on the Jabberwocky to do what is best for the Jabberwocky, but I have no idea what her priorities are. I don't know.
Oh, man. Can you imagine, though, like a Jabberwocky backstory? Because that's definitely a theme that's been running through Once Upon a Time since the very beginning, especially with, like, Regina and Rumpelstiltskin. They weren't born evil. They were made into evil.
Right.
And that idea applying to the Jabberwocky, who is such, I mean, she's a creature. She's obviously a woman, but she's very creature-like. And I think the idea that she wasn't always like that is so fascinating. And yeah, it makes me sad that we only have one more episode left for her.
Yeah, interestingly enough, like, I would kind of, this sounds strange, but like, I kind of would like her to transition to the main show, but I'm not really sure how that would happen exactly.
Me too. I would love that.
Yeah, unless she has some connection to Cora and Cora is the one that did it to her, they could squeeze her into Cora's backstory.
Ooh.
Kind of thing. That would work because they're in Wonderland and that's Cora's land. So I don't know. She is fascinating though as a character. She does have a lot to offer. So I kind of only wish she was in it sooner, in a sense, so we could get more of her.
Yeah.
So moving forward, they decide that the Jabberwocky will take Cyrus back, and that she'll offer Cyrus up to Jafar, and Alice and Will will sneak into the castle to try to kind of surprise attack Jafar. Sadly, that does not go as planned. And what happens is Jafar kind of attacks, or Amara is released from the staff, and Jafar realizes that Amara won't stop fighting him, so he gets a hold of Cyrus and stabs Cyrus, and basically tells Amara, if you don't do what I tell you to do, your son will die. So now Amara is left to the control of Jafar to help him do the spell. Did I interpret that correctly?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of what we're left with at the end of this episode. So, I mean, could Jafar possibly win? Do they all not live happily ever after? You know, like, what happens now? Is Cyrus going to die?
Because that would be a
crappy way to end their story, right?
I'm so bad.
It would just be odd on a whole bunch of different levels. So, you know, is Will going to forever remain the genie? Like, what's
going
on?
I mean, I think we'd all be, like, really fine if Jafar died. I mean, I don't know that anyone's really going to shed a tear if that one goes down. But, yeah, that's a really good question. Although, I have to tell you, after tonight's Once Upon a Time, like, maybe he does sacrifice himself. Like, I don't even know. Like, I don't know what to make of it. Because we'll obviously get into it later, but tonight's Once Upon a Time episode was very unlike most Once Upon a Time episodes we've seen. So maybe everybody doesn't live happily ever after at the end of the series. I don't know.
I think if anyone's going to die, it's going to be Amara, just because she needs to be returned to the well in order for everything to sort of go back to normal. So I think that's possibly how the curse with the genies is going to break. And I have a feeling that, like, Anastasia is going to be fine. Cyrus is going to be fine. It's pretty much going to be a happy ending, but Amara's fate, in my mind at least, is pretty sealed.
Yeah, that would make sense. That would be the easiest way to get Will out of being a genie.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we will see next week in an hour. That's the only thing. I feel like there's too much to wrap up in an hour next week, you know? So I guess we'll see what they have planned for us. All right, well, let's move on to our Once Upon a Time discussion. How did you guys feel? Thumbs up, thumbs down this week?
I was thumbs up, but I felt like I was not watching Once Upon a Time.
Really?
Well, it was just a lot more serious than I felt like
we normally are.
So, no, I don't mean like we were out of character, but I felt like we were watching a very special episode of Once Upon a Time, if you know
what I mean. I think it was very special indeed. Karen, what'd you think?
About the same. I would give it a thumbs up because it wasn't a bad episode, but I feel like, it did feel really different. And not that I didn't enjoy it, but it was very mellow. And I think that there were a lot of really great character moments, especially between Regina and Robin Hood, and then Emma and Henry. But other than that, it just felt very slow to me. And I think that kind of took me out of the episode a little bit.
Yeah, I think they're gearing up for next week's Wild Wild West showdown.
Oh my God.
Square.
With the music they were playing and everything. Yes.
I was like, all right, next week's going back to the hokey. I love it. So for favorite quotes this week, I have one, and it's, what's it feel like playing the hero after being the pirate for so long? And that was Bay to Hook. And it was just that whole moment between them. I was like, something is not okay. Like, Did anyone else feel like something was wrong when you have the two of them hugging? You're like, wait a minute, no.
Yeah, like all of a sudden we're gonna have a buddy movie. I was like, oh my God, really? Like they're getting ready to go on a road trip together or something. It was a little weird, yeah.
Yeah,
I was so on board with that though. Like that was probably the highlight of the whole episode for me.
All right, Karen, what was your quote?
Mine was actually also from Bay, and this was when he said, I almost married a minion of my evil grandfather, Peter Pan. And it just reminds you, once again, how effed up the whole storyline is and all of the relationships. I mean, this show is so ridiculous, but they somehow make it work, and I don't know how they do it.
I don't know. The family tree is psychotic, but you love every minute of it.
Yes.
Like watching. So yeah. And Laura, what was yours?
Amazingly enough, I also had a Bay quote, and I was kind of tying between an Emma quote and a Bay quote, but or Neil, however you want to put it. But mine was, because I just felt like this was the mantra of the episode, was my father is the king of loopholes, and I am sure he'll think of a way to deal with her. I just felt like some way Rumpel is going to get out of this. And because he's just, that was it. That is just so perfectly who Rumple is. I mean, either there's squid ink or there's removed this lock of my hair like 30 years ago to get this. I mean, like this man, it's like he has a TARDIS and he has a contingency plan for everything and he keeps forwarding himself in time to learn what to do. Like, he just constantly has a contingency plan. So I felt like that was a really key quote. And then the other one that I had too, because I do love me some Robin Hood, I really liked Robin looking at Regina, and I swear he had his eyes fixated on her ass.
He did. He did.
I'm going, is he looking where I think he is? But anyway, he says, bold, audacious, perhaps, but not evil. I really liked that.
Yes. I loved, and we will get into them shortly, but I loved the Regina and Robin Hood moments. They were so fun. All right, so let's just get right into this discussion. So the intro of the show is Emma and everyone at Granny's discussing gold and the Wicked Witch. They kind of don't know what to do with it, you know what I mean? So we have that moment. And then we see Zelina out on the bluffs or whatever, trying to summon gold using the dagger, and it doesn't work. And we later find out why it doesn't work, which I think is fascinating. So, then from there, she sends a flying monkey after him. And then Emma has to go and kind of speak with Belle and tell her what's going on with gold. Which is kind of a big moment, because Belle is a little, I don't know, she's a little off about the whole thing. And one of my favorite moments comes when Emma's like, Hook can stay with you. He's like, yeah, you know, I'll stay and I'll help you in case. And she's like, you've tried to kill me twice. As he tries to make, oh, I was angry, and I was, she's like, twice. And he's like, yeah, about that.
Sorry?
Yeah, and then Emma's like, oh, you really know how to charm a girl. So I thought that was super fun on their part. They had a couple really nice moments. So what did you guys think about that whole kind of opening sequence?
I really liked that, just like having them interact, because I feel like for a while we've been having people who we typically see together have been together. So I did like watching a crossover like that of people you don't typically see involving each other, like having to interact. And in fact, then later on too, you see Bay and oh my gosh, why can't I Belle, like I don't know, her name just like went right out of my head, and you see them interacting, and I thought that was really cool. I think that adds a really good dynamic to the show.
Yeah, well, those are some really cool flashbacks that we're going to get to in just a minute. But was there anything you had, Karen, about that whole opening sequence?
Well, first of all, I just really miss Granny, because she is so sassy and we need more of her.
I wish we had Red. Granny's cool, but I really want Red back more than I want Granny.
I miss her too. But Belle really stood out to me in this episode in general, especially this opening part. Definitely with the hook scenes. That was really funny. But I really missed Belle for some reason. I mean, I know she's been around here and there, but it was just really good to see her again.
Yes, indeed. And we do get some serious Belle and Neil flashbacks from when they were returned to the Enchanted Forest. And the two of them are at Rumple's castle. And for some reason, Neil was able to keep Emma's necklace when they transitioned over. Even though he's got the funky, weird clothing, he still has Emma's necklace, which is kind of interesting. And so they're in... Does somebody have something to say about that?
No, I was going to say, yes, that was... I found that... Yeah, I found that strange too. Absolutely.
And I think it was Belle that said it was because it was like true love or something like that.
Right, but I don't get that because, I don't know, it didn't kind of ring true to me.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah, so we'll see if anything comes of that later on. So the two of them are searching in the library and they light a candelabra and lo and behold, it's Lumiere, which I think is quite funny. I kind of enjoyed it. So as they're searching the library, they have the talking candle flame face.
I had like Sirius Black flashbacks to him in the fireplace. Oh my gosh. Harry Potter.
Right. You're right. Yeah, it did for one of the shows. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, really.
Yeah, so it was kind of cool to see Lumiere, and that kind of cuts away, and to present day where Belle and Hook are in Gold's shop, and somebody comes crashing through the back door, and Belle thinks it's Rumpel, and as she runs to the back of the shop, it's actually Neil. And now remember, no one's seen Neil since they've returned. No one's been able to find him. So the fact that he's just showed up is rather interesting. Then we cut to a scene with Henry and Emma. Henry kind of just calls Emma out. He's like, I know there's more going on here. I know you don't want to talk about it. I get it. But I want to go back to New York if this is, you know, if this is going to be okay. Kind of just puts it out on her, and she's very stuck as to what to say. Like, dear son, yes, we live with a cast of fairy tale characters, and you're the grandson of Snow White and Prince Charming. Like, how do you drop that on a kid? I mean, and make him believe. So, I mean,
well, it is because, like, Emma had that other great quote about, like, I was, like, a year ago, I was playing video games and eating fruit roll-ups with my kid, and now I'm, like, hunting the Dark One in the Wicked Witch of the West. I mean, it is. It's like, how do you explain this to him? How do you get him to believe this? Because there's no magic potion. There's, like, how does that work? You know, how does that even work?
But the thing with this is, Henry always believed, and I get that he doesn't have memories of being in Storybrooke before, but that was always one of his strongest points, was that he believed in the magic when nobody else did. And I feel like if anybody's going to understand, it's going to be Henry.
Maybe the ruby slippers will come into play and that'll do it. I don't know.
There's no place like home.
There's no place like home. I don't know. I'm just...
So... I don't know. That's kind of where we're at with Henry. He's kind of calling Emma out and being like, I just want to go back to New York. I'm all done with this. Like, this is stupid. And again, he looks so old. He looks so much older in this.
I love it.
I'm just like, oh, you're grown up so much, Henry.
Yeah. And I love how he calls Emma out and he's like, dude, I know you're keeping secrets from me. And it's just, he's so mature and everything. I mean, I hate to say everything's so honest between them because obviously Emma is lying to him, but then she does say, look, I do have some secrets, we'll talk about it later, I can't right now. And the communication between them is just, it's really nice. I like it.
Yeah, it is. It's a really, it's a nice relationship to see, because it's not something we've always been able to see with Henry. Like, he hasn't had a solid mother figure in his life. I mean, there was Regina, but there was always an element of manipulation to her early on. So to kind of have Emma there, it's a whole different kind of look right now for him. And Emma cuts that conversation off because she gets the phone call that Neil has been found. So she goes running off to the hospital. And Neil doesn't remember anything. He says the last thing he remembers is watching the car drive away and then returning, you know, running through the woods. He remembers nothing else. And here's the weird thing.
I thought for real he was like a flying monkey and he was like returning to, like... You know what I mean? Like,
right. Well,
initially, that's what I thought.
Right. Well, I think the weirdest thing is he's not like his reaction to Emma walking in. He wasn't overly surprised and he wasn't like shocked when we said Rumpel was alive. And like the only thing he was concerned about was Henry. Like there wasn't a lot of, do you know what I mean? Like, did you find his response odd when Emma walked in the door? Like he was, you know, his whole goal was to find Emma, to find Emma, to get back to Emma. But when he finally sees Emma, it's kind of like, all I remember, like, it's a very odd welcome. Or was that just me?
No, I think you're right. I think the whole thing was a little bit muted, and he definitely was really concerned about Henry and how he felt about him. I feel like he was a little bit surprised about Rumpel, but I definitely agree that his reaction to Emma... Like, I thought there was going to be this whole, like, sweeping embrace thing, and they were going to be like, oh, I missed you so much, and stuff like this, and just none of that happened, and I don't know if that's because they were in a room full of people or what, but it definitely felt a little bit off to me.
Yeah, I don't, there was something odd about that scene for, like, his reaction to things. It just kind of caught me off guard. From there, we cut to a flashback. And in this flashback, we get Lumiere talking with Belle and Bay. And so he kind of points out to them where they can find a book that belongs specifically to the Dark One that would be very important to him. And so Belle finds the book and opens it. And did you guys notice the creature on the front? It looked like it was Egyptian, and it was holding a wishbone.
I totally missed that.
Was that one of the underworld? Was that one of the underworld creatures?
You know,
it looked like it had an eagle's head and a human torso, and I couldn't see what it had for legs, and it was holding a wishbone.
I have to tell you, I was looking at, and I was trying to figure out, I was also, like, looking at, like, the symbol that Babe was using, too, and I just didn't know what really to make of a lot of it, and I was like,
Yeah, but it definitely felt Egyptian on the front of it. I don't know.
I mean, I totally missed that for some reason, but if it has an eagle head and a human body, that could be Horus if it's Egyptian.
I was thinking Horus. That's what came to me, too, because what's the symbol? The eye of Horus is a triangle and a circle with the eye in the middle, right?
No, that's...
What's that? That's the eye of something. What is it?
Yeah, that's like a Masonic symbol, isn't it?
Yeah, it's from, as you said, it is from older mythology than that.
Yeah.
But I forget. It's the all-seeing eye that Masons adopted from previous mythology.
Right, because the key that Bay was holding had the circle and the triangle, didn't it? I didn't see an eye, but the shape was a circle within a triangle within a circle.
Yes, and actually I kind of was waiting, like, is there going to be an eye on that too? But yeah.
So that reminded me of. So anyway, I mean, I noticed that, so I was like, I wonder what that has to do, if he's keeping it in that book. I mean, granted, it was the key that was within the book, so maybe the book isn't relevant, but I kind of felt like it was.
And something else I noticed too was on the... I forget what they called it exactly, but the thing that, like, the little door that he opened with the key, that had a bunch of symbols on it, and I saw, like some Celtic knots and stuff like that, and I don't know. I mean, we've talked before about how they're bringing in Greek mythology and all this other stuff, and I feel like maybe this is a hint to how expansive this universe could be, and maybe we'll be getting, like, a lot of other stories in the future, which would be really awesome.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, we could get, you know, if it was Celtic knots, we could get a little, I don't know any Celtic myths. I'll have to think about it.
No, I don't really. I am half Irish, and I don't at all, really, to tell you the truth. other than knowing there are, like, banshees that are wishes and witches, I don't really know anything. And I suppose Brigadoon is Celtic in nature. It's Scotland, but it is also Celtic. But that's, like, seriously, that's all I know. So I wouldn't even know where to go with it.
They could bring in Merida, but she's Scottish as well. The Brave storyline.
That would be cool. Sooner or later. You know they're going to do that. And Frozen, too. You just know that's going to happen sooner or later. You know it is. It's totally going to.
That would be cool, though, because you could freeze everything. I'd like it.
Yep.
So back to Lumiere. Do you guys kind of get the feel that he's, like, the wizard, in a sense? Like, this version? Do you know what I mean? You know how they twist everything together? Because Zelina actually made him, even though he told them that Rumple made him. He did not. Zelina is the one who made Lumiere. So, is it possible that he's this world's version of a wizard, the Wizard of Oz? Because if you think about it, in the original movie, the way his presence was shown was through that big fake, you know, smoke and mirrors thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was totally my thing. I felt like that is who the wizard... Yeah, in this world, that's who the Wizard of Oz was, because they do cross things like that. That was completely the vibe that I know I personally got.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. I mean, I just kept thinking about the mirror, you know, Sidney Glass, and obviously it's not the same person, but I just kept calling back to that, and the Wizard of Oz didn't even cross my mind, but that makes a lot of sense.
I don't know. Can, like, Toto be, like, a big wolf or something, and Toto can just take her out? That would be good.
That would be awesome.
Oh, we need to find our Dorothy Gale first.
Right.
So I'm
rooting for Toto. Well, actually, I also have, like, just sort of a weird sort of question. So has anybody thought of just getting a big old bucket of water and dumping it on her?
Apparently not.
They all know the Wicked Witch. They all get it, but they're missing how that ends.
I mean, so I'm thinking maybe that probably doesn't work if for no other reason they're filming in an awfully damp forest. There's sort of an abundance of water. I'm wondering if maybe that isn't applicable here, but I'm like, just get a bunch of water and give it a shot, you know? So.
Very true. At the very least, maybe you could just drown her. Who knows?
Yeah, really.
So we cut to present time, and Snow is all kinds of crazy, confused about the whole Rumple and Neil thing. So she calls Zelina because she's something about the baby. She couldn't feel the baby moving. So Zelina brings her quote unquote orange juice and gives it to Snow and says that's all she needs and it'll help the baby. So Snow takes it and immediately Snow feels the baby moving. No, I think we all know that that wasn't orange juice.
Yeah, like creepy, like Rosemary's Baby crossover scene of the night. I mean, I was just like, oh god, like I was like, what show am I watching? Yeah, like very, very creepy. And I tried to read the label on that, and it was like, and I have to go back and rewatch it. I couldn't. It was, it almost looked like Andalusia, which is a region in Spain, but that wasn't it. I was trying to go, what is the label and the brand on that orange juice? Because like the camera kind of zoomed in and I was like, is that supposed to be important or a clue? I'm wondering if they're going to like pick up the orange juice container next week and be like, oh, or for that matter, like now that she knows this woman is evil, wouldn't you have been about, oh my God, I was feeding and like I was drinking things by her. Like, wouldn't your first inclination be, oh my God, what is in this? Was it poison? So I'm kind of surprised they didn't go down that road yet.
Yeah, that'll probably be in next week's episode. So from there, we have our first Robin and Regina moment of the evening. And can I just say how much I enjoy these two together? There's just a lot of sass involved, and he doesn't take her crap, and she kind of gives it back to him, and I just love it. So, I don't know. Laura, you're the Robin Hood junkie. What did you think? Did you like the moment?
I cannot get enough of Robin Hood in the Urban Outfitters meets Cabela's gear. Just keep bringing it on. I'm good with it, and I'm a ridiculous Robin Hood sucker. I just am. I feel like so guilty that I'm not more annoyed that Marion is not around, and I'm stupid. I'm a sucker. I'm just all over Robin Hood. I don't know. You can ship Robin Hood with anyone, and I'd be all over it. So yeah, that's me.
I really love the idea that they're both sort of on their second chances here, and I think that's just a really interesting concept. And once again, you know, we have the show kind of taking things in a different direction, and yet it still works. I mean, they have a lot of chemistry. And I think my favorite thing about it is that Robin Hood is not afraid of Regina. And that's what she needs. I mean, everybody in town still thinks she's evil and is still terrified of her. And yet here's this one guy who's like, I know you're not totally evil. Like, he kind of gets that it's a front. And I think that's just what she needs to sort of accept herself. I mean, she's sort of been the big bad for so long that I think she feels like she needs to fill those shoes. And as long as Robin Hood kind of sees the real side of her, I think she's going to start accepting that as well.
I like that they're taking it slowly. Like, it's kind of cool. I really like that they're taking it. I really like that they're taking it slowly. I'm really good with that.
I think that's important, given who Regina is. So from there, we have Hook is brought in by Emma to babysit Neil, which Neil is not okay with. So they kind of have their moment and they're talking. And this is where the moment gets really sweet between them. It's also the moment where I felt like something was very wrong. Primarily because of, I mean, Hook is very sappy and emotional with Bay. He's like, you know, I sometimes forget that you were that little boy that I took care of for so long ago. And it's really sad. And they kind of have this hug it out moment. And I was just like Hook initiates the hug and it's just really strange. Not strange in a bad way, but just like, it's so unusual for his character to be kind of so sentimental. And Neil says, you know, I have to do this. You know, you're not, you know, I need to go. And so Hook says, I'll give them 10 minutes before I let them know you're gone. And so that's kind of how Neil gets out, which leads to bigger issues later. But that kind of is where it all stems from. And that, so what did you guys think of that moment between Hook and Neil?
I loved it. I think it was a little awkward because you're right, Hook normally isn't like that. But at the same time, it's so obvious that they had this huge history and it's sort of been ignored up until this point. And I mean, they've come face to face before, obviously, but I don't think they really had a chance to kind of talk about it and really get through some of their issues. And I think this was Hook's way of just being like the bigger man almost and being like, look, you know, I'm really sorry for everything that happened and you still do mean a lot to me because they had all that history together. So I think although it felt a little random, it did seem genuine to me.
Yeah, like as I said before, I just really liked these interactions that are not typical interactions, and I think it really added a lot to storyline this time out. I think it was really strong.
It also makes me wonder if it has anything to do with what's happened to Hook, because wasn't he telling Emma that, like, a lot of things happened in the last year on his ship, and I feel like all of that, while we don't know what it was, might have changed him or affected him somehow?
Yeah, it's a big unknown. You're absolutely right. Yeah, so, like, what's motivating him? How did he get back? Who gave him? Yeah, I think it's a huge... It is. It's a big old question mark. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see if we get any of that information or if that's going to be, like, something for a different time kind of thing. I don't know. It was a really sweet moment in a lot of ways. Like I said, there were a lot of things going on with it. So I guess we'll see how that, I don't know. It definitely felt like goodbye. Like, I think for me, most of this episode felt like goodbye. So I don't know. We'll talk about that in a little bit, I guess. So Emma and Charming find Gold, who keeps saying too many voices, and a flying monkey attacks them and Gold runs off. So we have that moment, and then we kind of don't go back to the forest for a little bit.
Can I just mention one thing about the flying monkey that I just thought was kind of funny? See, now that they know that they're really their friends transformed, did you notice how
they
Charming...
They don't want to kill
them.
Yes! I know,
so
I know.
So Charming is like, I'm only using my sword to wound slightly, but not maim or kill. Like, did you notice that? I was just going, that's hilarious. Like, as he's using the flat end of the sword, it's like, he'd give the man a broom. It would have been just as effective. I mean, it was just kind of funny. We can't actually, you know, we don't want to draw blood on the monkey, just kind of knock it out, but not too badly so it dies.
Yeah, I didn't notice Emma wouldn't use the gun either. I was like, why isn't she? I'm like, oh, wait, because they don't know who it is.
Yeah, because you could be, you know, killing a dwarf and you don't know it. Or a merry man or whoever else has gone missing.
I kind of love this idea now that you guys bring it up, though. Like, maybe by the end of this storyline, I'm assuming that Zelina will possibly get killed off or something. And maybe when that happens, all the monkeys will turn back. Like, which new characters are we going to get? Because she's had the flying monkeys for a while. So we could be getting some interesting people coming onto the show by the end.
Yeah, that's right, because, well, we're assuming that is how you would break the spell, but, I mean, obviously there must be some way of undoing it.
Let's hope so, because I would like our, you know, people back. Little John was so fun. Robin Hood needs him back. So from there, we actually have a Regina and Robin Hood moment part two for the evening. And this time, they're kind of talking and... this is when he brings out the liquor. When she's talking, he thinks it's a potion, and she's like, oh, yes, it makes you tell the truth. And I thought it was just, she was really kind of teasing him, and it was really fun. But at this point in time, she also notices his tattoo, which promptly sends her running again. Like, she cannot get out of there fast enough.
I know, it was, I kind of liked that Regina wasn't all about, like, oh, this is him, and I kind of liked that it wasn't a zong, this is who I need to be with person. I liked the element of fear there, and the fact that that's got to be, I mean, at this point, that's a lot of years ago for Regina to remember it that clearly, because obviously it was, like, over 30 years ago, because she lived in Storybrooke, like, repeating time constantly, so... She's had more conscious years to think about that loss than, say, the other people in Storybrooke who didn't know they were kind of living in a loop for 28 years.
True. I just thought it was so funny that she couldn't even just kind of, like, see it, deal with it, and kind of just even continue the conversation until she could get herself out of it. Like, she legitimately, like, booked it out of there. That's what I found amusing.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of funny, but at the same time, I feel like that's so true to her character. She's so used to running away from love and the possibility of losing somebody that's so close to her, and I feel like this was exactly like how Regina has always been, but you know, the way that it kind of comes back is at the end of the episode when she goes to find him again. And I think that is Regina moving in the right direction, and I am so excited for it.
Yeah, I love the scene of her just kind of standing there watching him playing with the little boy. Like, it's just so sweet. And you almost wonder how Regina's going to explain herself. You know, right. She booked it at it. Like, what's going to be her excuse? How is she going to kind of do that? So I'll be interested to see what she goes with. Although next week she looks a little busy.
I'm curious if she's going to be like, so anybody seen Tinkerbell? Tink? You know, because obviously Tinkerbell knows who the guy is. So if I was her, I'd be like, you know, anybody seen Tink?
I need some verification, please.
Just want to just double check. So you remember that time? You know, I think that would be hilarious because we have not seen Tinkerbell, right?
Nope.
So I'm curious how Tinkerbell plays into all of this. So I feel like, you know, Tinkerbell will be back and she'll be more tied into a lot of everything that's going on. Maybe she's part of the mystery hook thing too. Who knows? I feel like Tink is maybe just wishful thinking, but I feel like Tinkerbell has a integral role to play.
I'm really interested to see how they're going to move forward with the Robin Hood and Regina storyline, though, because I feel like they're almost setting this up as, like, it being her new family. I mean, she's got a guy, and he's got a kid, and she's always wanted a child, and at this point, Henry is more Emma's son than he is her son. I mean, he doesn't even remember her right now, and I like the idea of Regina sort of moving on and being happy, but not at the expense of her relationship with Henry. So I'm going to be interested to find out how they kind of tie it all together. I assume Henry's going to get his memories back at some point. And just like how, I mean, this is, talk about the family, you know, family tree. Like, it's just complicating it more and more. And they have quite the mixed up family.
Yeah, I do worry about that replacement thing, but I think it'll all work itself out in the end. And I think so. Everyone will be happy to have, like, can you just imagine Regina, like, in love in this time period? Like, we've seen her in love in the past, and it never worked out for her, but this is so very different. So I'm super curious to see what they do with it. Like, I'm so excited for it.
And I hope it's different from Rumpel, you know, I mean, obviously he's in love with Belle, and we kind of see like how that has an effect on him. And I mean, they've been really good so far, keeping their storylines very parallel, but at the same time, they're not duplicates of each other. So I hope that they kind of have this twist on Regina falling in love and trying to be a better person.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting, and I'm sure it will be different. They don't tend to repeat themselves too often. So we'll see. Some really interesting stuff that happened right after that is we have another flashback with Belle and Neil, and they discover that Lumiere is a fake. He made the mistake of saying that he had been in the library for over 200 years, and Belle's like, yeah, that's not possible. So they realize something's amiss with him, but by the time they do, it's just far too late. So Neil decides no matter what, he's going to open the Dark One's kind of prison area or cavern or whatever they called it. So he goes and opens it and uses the key, and he's marked by the key, which is the mark we see in his palm when he's back in the hospital. And from there, what happens is Rumpel kind of comes out of this dark, oily substance. And when he does, something happens to Neil. We realize something is not right. And this is when Zelina appears and says, well, you know, you didn't realize that in order for the Dark One to come back, someone else had to die. Someone else has to take his place, basically. So basically what it was is Neil saved his father only to die. And as Neil's dying in the past, in the Enchanted Forest, he somehow gets absorbed into Rumpel's body. Yes, is that what you guys understood it to be?
Yes.
So weird.
Actually, you know what? I really had a big question with in regards to this was just like timeline, because obviously we know because of the pregnancy of Snow that it's, you know, like Emma's saying it's a year. They're saying, you know, it's 9 months, what have you. So I'm really curious as to when in the timeline this occurred, because I really felt like it was very early on in the timeline. Am I wrong in this?
It feels like it's early on, but we have no idea.
Right. So I guess that's my – is a huge question that I have is how long were they intertwined like that in – like was that early on? Was that towards the end? I mean, I feel like that's going to – I mean, that's going to depend on a lot. I don't know. I'm really concerned with that. And then on top of that, the fact that like Hook, when Hook went to get Emma, he was like, your parents desperately need you. I'm just wondering, does he know about any of this? Does he have an inkling? Did he hear about this in the past? Cause maybe he was somewhere else. I don't know. I feel like,
well, he said he got a bluebird and he assumed it was from Snow White saying that they were in trouble.
Right. So I don't know. I really am curious as to, I think it really is going to be a big deal as to when this takes place in the timeline.
It will be interesting to see. So from there, we actually go back to, well, Xelena tells him he has to choose. And he had dropped the dagger originally. And she's like, well, it's too bad you're going to lose him anyway. And that's when he absorbs Neo, which, again, very strange. So Xelena can control Rumple as long as he's in Rumple form with the dagger. But if he's in the form of Neil, he can't control him, which is because he's in a different form. I don't know. Very interesting how that all works out. So what happens is we come back to present day and Emma's still looking for Rumple and Neil appears in the forest. So she's talking with Neil and she's telling him about New York, how, you know, she was engaged and he turned out to be a flying monkey. And then, you know, she explains how Henry has had a normal life and he's so happy with his normal life. And then, unfortunately, she also has to tell him that Henry only has bad memories of him. He only knows him as the man who left her father in prison because he's not allowed to remember any of the other things. So we had to have that, and that's kind of weighing on Neil. And then we have them in the forest. And I'm trying to see where we're going to go because I skipped some things. We have them in the forest. And as Emma's talking to Neil, he starts to kind of flicker and he like falls over and you can tell that there's something very wrong. And so Neil says, there's too many voices. There's too many voices. And this is kind of where we get this idea in the present day that something's not right. That the reason basically we haven't seen Neil is because he and Rumple are still sharing a body. And the reason that Rumple could escape from the cell was because Neil was the one that could get him out. So he had to switch forms in order to get out. Did you guys get that? Is that correct? Is that how you interpreted it from what Xelena said?
Yeah. The bottom line was they had to be separated in order. You're saying in order.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
No. Okay. Then I'm confused.
When the reason that Rumple finally escaped was because he had switched forms and switched to Neil. So Neil could undo the locks, whereas Rumple couldn't.
Yes, totally agree with you. That's absolutely what
right. happened. So that's why we finally get Neil, because they're constantly switching forms back and forth. So I'm wondering if they were at a point where the body couldn't hold both of them anymore, and that's why they were switching so much. Because why all of a sudden are they fluctuating so much?
Well, yeah, and he was doing that whole thing of, like, remember that rhyme last week about in your head and dead and all that, too? So I think it was absolutely that it was just sort of, like, at the bursting point, and then that was it. Absolutely.
So we have this moment where Neil is like, Emma, he's inside of me. You know, you have to separate us. And Neil insists that she uses her magic to separate them. So Emma does, but by doing so, Neil will die. And so Rumple comes out, and he's actually gold. He's the way he should be. And like not skin tone gold, but like Mr. Gold. And I just realized I should probably clarify.
With a golden tooth. Did anybody catch the golden tooth?
Yeah, he's very much Mr. Gold. So as they're talking, Emma says he wanted me to separate. And Rumpel's distraught. He's like, no, I can't fix this. And Neil's like, it's okay, Papa. It's okay. You know, I needed to do this for my family. It's a true sacrifice. And this is what's interesting. This concept of true sacrifice was brought up repetitively at this time, that Neil was making a true sacrifice because that's what Rumpel did when Rumpel sacrificed himself with Peter Pan. It's a true sacrifice. So I feel like that's the new catchphrase right now, that there's something in that statement. I'm not sure what, but it feels like there's definitely something in that statement.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I feel like, well, here's the thing, too. I feel like the fact that Neil begged Emma to use her magic to do the separation and that he kind of knew he would die at that point, I felt like that was with total knowledge and a forethought, and that was a true sacrifice. But I felt like what he did to get into the situation in the first place, how he used the key, and like Belle figured it out, but he didn't figure it out. And Selena makes it very clear of, oh, I didn't tell him. I feel like that's not a true sacrifice. And that kind of kicked it all off so that maybe that's the way to bring Neil back in the end.
So do you guys think that this isn't going to stick?
See, I think it is.
So
and
do I.
Only reason I think so is because of the way the episode was. It very much felt like a goodbye to him. The whole episode very much felt like a goodbye to Neil. Like once that whole scene with Hook and then how he was with Emma and with Rumpel, it very much felt like goodbye.
I agree. I agree with you what you're saying. The only thing is I'm going to I was tweeting during the episode with Caitlin, who writes for Hypeable also. And she says something to the effect of, I've been trained to realize that people who I think are dead on this show just pop back to life two episodes later. So I feel like, I don't know, I feel between that factor and I feel like what kicked this whole sequence off was him not knowing what he was doing. And the whole line about my father is the king of loopholes, I feel like he is coming back. But that being said, I loved the whole thing that he and Rumpel had their moment and that scene, and he sacrificed himself for his father, and that was all kinds of awesome, but I feel like he's coming back.
See, I'm kind of the complete opposite of that, because I feel like Rumpel's death was so amazing because his was a true sacrifice. And I mean, after everything that Rumpel has been all about surviving for all of these seasons and everything, he finally decided that his life was not more important than everybody else's. And I loved that. And I'm not complaining that he's back, because I think that's amazing. And the show's just, it wouldn't have been the same without him. But I feel like Neil, like his quote unquote true sacrifice, didn't really mean anything, because it's not like he was a bad guy, and he's done some crappy things in the past, but we've sort of gotten his redemption arc already, and I feel like all of that was sort of, like, there was a conclusion to it previously, especially between him and Emma, and they admitted their feelings and everything, and so I feel like this was so anticlimactic, and he wasn't, like, I guess I'm still not completely on board with the fact that he has forgiven his father completely, and he feels like he needs to sacrifice himself in order for Rumpel to live. That still doesn't feel too genuine to me. Like, I don't get why he has all those feelings for his father, even though his father did redeem himself, but after everything that his father put him through, it still feels kind of contrived.
No, I get that. I kind of get how you would get that vibe. So, I don't know. But that could, or, I mean, maybe it is and it isn't our once upon a time death that we were told would be coming. Perhaps we should be keeping a close eye on Twitter from Adam Horowitz. Tweets from the producers and the showrunners, because they tend to throw some stuff out there every now and then. So even though it may be cryptic, we might want to keep an eye on their Twitter for the next couple of days, see what they come up with. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. We have a moment where, and I didn't really mention this earlier, but we have a moment where Lumiere saves Belle from the Wicked Witch, because Belle orders Rumple to kill her. The Wicked Witch orders Rumple to kill Belle, and so Lumiere shoots out some flames around the witch and says, run, run, run. And when Belle runs away, she grabs Lumiere and takes him with her. So I'm wondering if we get Lumiere at some point in time in his human form, because he was trapped as a candle because of the Wicked Witch. And we don't really know why, we don't know a lot about him, but I have a feeling that he'll be something relevant maybe at a different point in time. Because you don't introduce Lumiere, the candle, without making, you know, without plans to use him more effectively later, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Cool. I would like that.
Yeah.
Need Cogsworth the clock. We have the candle, we need the clock.
Yes, that would be super cool. The big thing, of course, obviously, is when, as Neil's lying there dying, Rumple says, you know, it's Zelina. This is all Zelina. And with that, like, Emma freaks out. So after Neil dies, and this is what I find odd, that they leave Neil in the forest with Rumple. Did anyone else find that odd? Like, they didn't, like, find a way to get him back?
Yes, they left the body in the middle of the woods. What was with that? I'm sorry. I thought that was weird, too. I had a problem.
Unless their more immediate concern was getting to Snow to let her know that Zelina was dangerous, which
but
I understand that.
They left him there. But they didn't even leave.
They left, like, Rumple with him.
That's true. And then the witch got him. And I just. Yeah. But I just felt like. Surely they're going to give him a funeral or bury him or just, I don't know. I just felt like maybe they'll pick up with that next week. I just felt like, didn't they? They just kind of left him there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Again, very odd. But so Rumple tells them it's Zelina, and Rumple and Zelina kind of have a face-off moment. But unfortunately, Zelina still has the dagger, so she can still control him. So she manages to get him back to his cage, which... I have a feeling she's going to regret these choices very much in the end.
Oh, yeah.
If someone gets a hold of that dagger other than her, let me tell you, it's going to be on.
And can I just say, I'm so relieved that they finally, like, everybody's finally on the same page and they know Zelina's the bad guy. Like, it's so stressful as an audience member when we know who the bad guy is and everybody else is in the dark and you're just like, ah, look at them. They're so evil. And so I was just really happy.
I can see Karen, like, yelling at her TV as she watches.
It happens sometimes.
So, unfortunately, at the very end, everyone kind of has to go to the others and tell them about Neil and also warn them about Zelina. So, Charming tells Belle and Hook, and Emma goes to see Henry, who had gone fishing. I didn't catch who he was going fishing with.
Leroy, right?
Oh, is that what she said? I
think so.
It happened so quickly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was like, yeah, we got to go fishing more often, Mom. And so Henry, like, Emma has to tell Henry that something bad has happened. And she kind of gets into it a little bit, but not too much. And then that kind of ends the episode. We kind of end with the idea that Neil is dead, that everyone is being told, and then they're going to have to figure out what to do about Zelina. So... Next week, though.
Bucket of water, I'm just saying. Bucket of water.
Dude, they had, like, a lake right there, is all I'm
saying.
Like,
why has no one even just tried this? I mean, it would be distraction, or at least. Like,
well,
seriously.
First of all, they've only just figured out who she is. So next week, I wouldn't be surprised if when she walks in, somebody throws some water at her.
Oh my god, I want it to be grumpy.
The reality of it is, they've only actually just discovered... physically, which one is the Wicked Witch of the West?
That's a good point.
Do you know what I mean? So they couldn't have done it before because they didn't know it was her. But now they know, so I would not be surprised if next week we see a lot of water being thrown. So yeah, but next week's episode, and this is what's so strange. We have this episode that's very heavy, very serious, and really kind of beautiful in its structure, and very different from what we're used to. And then... the preview for next week is so, like, ridiculous and very Once Upon a Time crazy, you know? So I'm like, how do we reconcile this heavy episode with the death and, you know, all this other stuff and move right back into the wacky? Like, it just, it's so Once Upon a Time.
Oh, my
time.
God.
I love it.
And it's so, like, spaghetti western, like, cheese-tastic, too. I was like, really? I mean, with the music and everything, I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah, we'll meet you at high noon or whatever. I'm like, oh, Regina, oh, man.
The music, like, definitely had me cracking up.
Yeah, so I guess we'll see what happens next week with their battle royale.
I'm really into it, though. I mean, it looks intense. Somebody gets thrown through the clock tower, and I feel like it's going to be a pretty good, like, showdown.
Well, I think part of the problem is that Zelina controls the Dark One. How do you fight Rumpel? I mean, he's powerful.
Without hurting him. I mean, obviously, nobody wants to kill him anymore.
Right. So I think the goal is to get the dagger. It's all about the possession of the dagger. So we'll see if someone else manages to get a hold of it. Anyway, so do you have any other thoughts about this episode of Once Upon a Time?
Nope.
Nope.
Okay. That wraps up this episode of Onceable. And we very much look forward to next week's conclusion of Once Upon a Time in Wonderland and then the continuation of Once Upon a Time. So hope you guys leave your questions, comments, theories. We'd love to hear theories. So if you have any really interesting theories about what they're going to do about the Wicked Witch of the West or whether or not Neil is actually dead, we would love to hear all about them. So thank you guys for listening. I'm Jen.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Karen.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.